and I began mapping out and cross-referencing all of the dates, the names, and the locations. There was just too much evidence.
She was a successful woman living her best life when a shocking discovery made her question if it was all real.
Now I realize he gaslit me, he manipulated me, all of these, you know, buzzwords that we hear.
Chad's living a double life.
Yes.
A toxic relationship nearly broke her, but instead it inspired her to use her story to help others.
So how does this relate to you and me?
If I can just help one person, right?
Okay.
If I can just help one person navigate their journey.
She's an author, a life coach, a consultant, and a perfect message of empowerment. As we head into Women's History Month, she's Jenny Prehm, now on The Pulse.
What if we begin shifting away from tough and we embrace our strength?
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. Cool people doing interesting things. And that applies here, but it's a little bit different. So a bunch of people upstairs going to Women's History Month and talking about and sharing stories. There were a bunch of my coworkers who were like, you have to get Jenny Prehm in. I said Jenny, didn't I?
Sounded like Jenny to me.
It's Jenny with an accent?
Yes.
All right. That's what I meant to do. Jenny Prehm in. And part of the reason was because you're all of those things. You're an accomplished author and podcaster and millions of views and speaker, life coach, all those things. But your life, if it's not yet, is likely to be a movie at some point. So it was interesting to kind of go through that. So thank you for coming in and spending some time with us.
I'm so happy to be here.
Do you hear that a lot, that this should be made into a movie?
Well, Bill, from your lips to the right person's ears, I would love for my story to be made into a movie.
So we're going to jump right into it and talk about the story that should be made into a movie. But help us figure out how we kind of got here. So what's your background in getting to this point?
So I had over 20 years of corporate leadership experience. I had the fancy job. I was traveling all the time for work and also traveling a lot for fun, which I loved. Okay. And I was just living my best single life. I had my two dogs that I would spend most of my free time with, or my friends. And then I was introduced to Chad, as I call him. And
protecting the names of the not so innocent.
So the name change is not to protect him. It's actually to protect two other people that are part of this story. And we'll get to that.
Okay.
So I meet Chad, and I was not interested for two reasons. Number one, because I just explained how good my life was, so why mess with a good thing? Yeah. And he had two kids.
Okay.
And that is why I changed names, was for their protection when I shared the story.
Okay.
And eventually he kind of broke down the walls. I'd crack the door open a little bit and he'd slide in. And eventually I fell in love. And I met those kids and I fell in love two more times.
Not looking for love, no plan for this. Life is going very well. And you just meet this person and you guys over time kind of clicked.
Yes.
Okay. So things are going well.
Life is good.
All right. Until it's not.
Until one day I'm traveling home from a work trip in Birmingham, Alabama. And this is almost 18 months, almost a year and a half into the relationship. And he and his kids are living with me at that point. Obviously, shared custody. They go back and forth with their mom, who's amazing. And then us. And I had actually had a special request. It wasn't our typical night to have the kids, but I requested them because we were to be going to my nephew's wedding that weekend in Washington State. So they were on a Tuesday night at our house, and a friend wanted to urgently meet for cocktails on a Tuesday night at 10 p.m.
Okay.
So all
no
day,
warning, no reason why. This friend is like, let's catch up.
No details. I was like, is everything okay? And she just said, it will be. So all day, like, my mind is reeling. I'm going, what is going on with her that is so important? Because this was not a 10 p.m. Tuesday night cocktail kind of friendship.
Right. Okay.
And I just had all these things going through my mind. Like, is somebody sick? You know, what's happening? And how do I show up and be a good supportive friend?
Right. My friend needs me.
Yes.
Okay.
And when I walk in, she's got an empty drink and a stack of papers in front of her. And she said, I said to her, I said, I've been worried about you all day.
Yeah.
And she said, it's not about me. It's about you. It's actually about Chad, and proceeded to display this arrangement of evidence about the man that was at home in my house.
So you had been together long enough, families involved, kids involved, that you were pretty comfortable that you knew this person.
I thought I did.
You thought you did. So when they come and spread out like this, all of this evidence, evidence of what? You know, like this, and what do you do when they're like, okay, this is about your significant other and or their family?
Well, you order a really big glass of wine. Okay. Yeah. Step one. But then you hear it, right? You have to hear the information. And for me, I'm a very evidence-based decision maker. So I need to have facts. I don't tend to make emotional decisions. And so I took the information, I went home and I had a conversation with him, denied, and in hindsight, now I realize he gaslit me, he manipulated me, all of these, you know, buzzwords that we hear, mm-hmm. but in real life application, I realized that I had been enduring them throughout the span of the relationship. And the next morning, I was able to verify some of the evidence that was in those papers. And that was all I needed was to, if I knew one of the things was true, it was probably all true.
Now that's, and you're my favorite, that's this book that you wrote. And that kind of details this story. So we don't, I guess we don't want to give all of the details of the book because we would like people to grab the book and check it out. But what can you tell us about what you are hit with at this 10 o'clock having cocktails and stack of evidence? You know, generally speaking, Chad's living a double life.
Yes.
Okay.
So, and let me tell you, Bill, the book wasn't even ready to go to publication. I learned so much more since then. Hmm. I'm talking hundreds of women.
So Chad had other people.
Yes.
Okay, so he was, what, seeing other people, in relationships with other people?
Seeing them. Some of them thought that they were in long-term relationships with him. Meanwhile, he's living in my house. They had never met his children. Just a lot of things. He was on some fetish websites, seeking arrangements websites. Okay. He also, just the grandiosity, right? So I know sometimes people are like, oh, cheating, right? It's so much bigger than that. He would portray, you know, that he financially had certain things and he didn't. I learned a lot about that after the fact as well. And then there's doing things like practicing medicine. He would perform chiropractic adjustments on people, which is extremely dangerous.
And illegal.
Yeah. Right? So the grandiosity of these things, and he did harm people. So not just from like an emotional standpoint, but doing those chiropractic adjustments.
So this person was a fraud, a criminal, all of these different things. But your significant other in a household with that in a lot of ways was your family.
Yeah.
How do you go home and talk to him about it? He denies it. But I mean, stacks of evidence, it's hard to deny. So what do you do going forward?
So I showed him the evidence the next morning, and basically I never allowed him back. For me, I realized I had lost so much of myself. I had been violated in so many ways, right? Emotionally, mm-hmm. psychologically, my physical space. Even just, you know, the negligence of the potential medical, you know, physical things that could have happened to me too. Luckily, I came away unscathed in that department. Mm-hmm. But I basically wanted to reclaim my space. So I never let him back in my home. I packed up all of his things with a couple of friends and then arranged for him to come and pick them up. The beautiful thing is, you know, speaking of family, we have sort of formed a modern family. I'm still very close with those kids.
Okay.
And their mom. So we call ourselves a modern family. We spend holidays together. We go on vacations together. We spend time together just this past week. So
they were all duped too.
Yes.
Wow. All right. So it was very important that, and when I said that your life is largely a movie, it's very important we tell the story because that story is kind of the journey to where you are now. So that happens to you. And I would imagine, and you have now experienced, that this type of thing, maybe not this, but toxic relationships and what have you, happen to more people than we would think. why share it? Like, why did you decide coming out of all of this, I'm going to write this book, I'm going to be a life coach, I'm going to bare my soul in an attempt, I guess, to help other people?
It was so different than anything I would have ever done before that. And the real story of why I decided to put this book and that story out there is because people were gossiping about it and sharing misinformation. And so for me, I was kind of like, well, maybe it's my opportunity to kind of set the record straight, right? And share what actually happened. But through that process, it was obviously very cathartic. And then I decided, and a lot of authors do this when they decide to share their book, and I always encourage people to not have this mentality, but this is the mentality I had originally. If I can just help one person, right?
Okay.
If I can just help one person navigate their journey. And then you realize, wow, when people do start reading it and they feel seen and they feel vulnerable, like you said, even if their story is eerily similar or very different, that going through a difficult time, that kind of traumatic experience that so many people do endure, I wanted to help them open that door.
Have you? Like, this set your life pattern. I mean, you got millions of people who are now, and that was this book. We now actually are on this book right now, and a podcast and TED Talks. And was this something that you had to go through to kind of find your journey, your place? Because that, it feels like that has now become your path.
Absolutely. I do think, and I know people are like, I'll never go so far as to thank him, Bill, but but I do say that I did need to go through this to really get, because I was so out of alignment with myself and who I am. Okay. My biggest pattern that I realized was I picked this relationship because it was familiar to me, and there is comfort in familiarity, even if it's bad. So I grew up in a household with similar behaviors and patterns. And so it was familiar to me. And I realized that I was overfunctioning. I was trying to be everything to everybody. I had the job. I made sure the house was clean. I did the grocery shopping. I did school drop off and pickup. I made sure the lawn was mowed. I, you know, paid all the bills. I, you know, managed everything, tried to maintain friendships, kept a rigid workout schedule. And I was being everything to everybody except for to myself.
Are you surprised, and I told you that there were people throughout the building who were like, I need to talk to you. Are you surprised how many people your story resonates with?
In some ways, yes. And again, because I think people can apply it to different types of stories. And so I think there's comfort in that, you know, shared vulnerability. Like, oh my gosh, if she went through this, then I can maybe open up and talk about what I went through, and processing that and going through the healing process is really powerful.
So that was, you're my favorite, we talked about. What led to Unsubscribe? And Unsubscribe is not just a book. It's again, podcast, almost a movement. But what led to Unsubscribe?
Again, Bill, from your lips, I love that you call it a movement. It really has become, it became such a powerful concept that I wished I had when I was going through that. And so that's kind of what I built this on in the foundation. And it's the primary thing I do speaking engagements on. The book just came out and I rebranded my podcast to it because it is such a powerful word that people understand what it means, but we've put new meaning to it and making it so robust to be able to apply it to different areas of your life.
So what are we going to see in Unsubscribe? Why letting go is the secret to getting ahead. What are we going to see when we pick up Unsubscribe?
So you'll kind of go on a little journey. I do share little bits and pieces about like where I was at that point in my life, but you're going to get the whole filter. So you're going to get, I call it a filter to reclaim time, energy, and boundaries in work and life. Sure. So it's something that teams, organizations, leaders are using, but also individuals. So you can apply it in, you know, both work and life. So you'll get a breakdown of all four of the pillars and how you can use those to support different challenges that you might be facing.
I have a friend who actually has been on this show, Yanla Van Zandt, and the Fix My Life is kind of her thing. And her own personal struggles kind of turned into a movement and trying to help people through that. Is that kind of like you're doing the motivational speaking, you're helping different people, you want this to be bigger. Is that how you see your path forward? Or was this just, all right, catharsis, at some point I'm over it, my life is good, Chad's in the rearview mirror, now I continue on? Or is this an ongoing journey?
No, this is an ongoing journey. This is my purpose. This is absolutely my purpose. I am more in alignment with myself than I've ever been. And the way that people come up to me at speaking engagements, it's actually the best part of it. When they come up and they're like, this is what resonated for me, or this is what I took away. And they bring things to me that I never even imagined from my own work that I created. And that's really powerful.
Who's this for?
It's really for everybody. But anybody that's ever felt in that space of feeling overwhelmed, over-functioning, stretched too thin, right? Like, we've lived in this hustle culture, right, of being busy and people like wearing their busyness like a badge of honor. But I want to put a different, like, hot take. I want us to get rid of that. Like, it's not, like, that is not what defines success.
But that, who's us? Like, is that more for, is this a women thing, that women need to have this opportunity to be okay with themselves and understand it's all right? Is it men need to be learning something from this also? All the above?
It's genderless. Really, it's genderless. The concept is genderless. In fact, one of my friends, I call him my Gale. He calls himself my Gale, but he's who I go to for every idea that I have. And he was like, why is Amazon pushing this to women? This is for everybody. It's for men too. So it is for everyone. It's for leaders, high achievers, right? People that want to be successful, or that look, that feel like they look like they're successful on the outside, but they're tired on the inside or feel misaligned.
It's interesting having the discussion. And I feel like when you have it, particularly from a male perspective, I'm listening to you tell the story. And a lot of it is, like I didn't know that somebody would feel like they were shouldering that much of the responsibility. And so part of me wonders how much of this really is for men. Like, what do you hope? We'll talk about what women should get from it. What do you hope men get from it as we kind of see this and try to better understand and join the movement that we have now labeled it?
I think there's a real opportunity for men right now to redefine male roles, right? Male roles, what they take on. I think I'm seeing a lot of more vulnerability in males, and that actually making them better leaders, more approachable. And I hope that's some of what they get out of this.
Okay. Well, let me hold you. I'm sorry if it seems like I didn't want to be staring, but I'm looking at your nails and I'm seeing, and you're talking, and I'm talking to you trying to go, what is, so your nails have a specific meaning.
So I did this for book launch. My nails are kind of my thing. So in the story, the morning after I learned everything about Chad, people are like, well, what did you do next? I'm like, well, I went and got my nails done. And people are like, you're so vain. Here's the thing. I was in such a state of duress and trauma at that point that all I could do was do the next thing. Like, look at my schedule and do the next thing on my calendar. And it just happened to be a nail appointment, which in hindsight was probably the best thing I could have done for myself in that state, was sit across the table and have someone hold my hands for 45 minutes. And get that dopamine, get that oxytocin. And then the next thing was I went and got my tires changed, right? So it was like, it just do the next thing until...
Fully functioning, handling everything.
Right, until you can kind of put one foot in front of the next. So my nails are kind of one of my signature things. I do love getting my nails done. And for book launch, we decided to do the symbols of the four pillars of unsubscribe. So it's block, mute, swap, and manage. And then the un, which mirrors the logo on the cover of the book.
Okay. So is that a reminder to everybody else? That's a reminder to you?
Like, yeah.
To kind of pause for a minute and follow the pillars.
Absolutely.
Walk us through those for people who haven't picked up the book yet. Not your nails so much, but the different pillars we should be embracing.
So the four pillars are block, mute, swap, and manage. Mm-hmm. And it's really designed because sometimes people go, well, unsubscribe, is that just like flippantly walking away from things and like blowing everything up? No, it's a critical thinking skill. It's actionable. So let's start with manage. So manage is for the most important urgent things.
Okay.
Things that you can't walk away from. Relationships that you can't leave. But you can manage it in a healthier way for you. So maybe that looks like the type of conversations you're having. Do you do them in person? Do you shorten them? Do you change the type of, you know, interaction, the frequency, the length? So you can really manage, and there's a lot of different ways, but since we're talking about relationships today, I thought that would be the most effective way to discuss manage, right? That's for people that, you know, you can't necessarily remove from your life.
Okay.
And then swap doesn't really pertain to relationships, but what I can tell you is that when you start to remove toxic relationships from your life, what starts to happen is your healthy relationships start to flourish. Then you start to welcome in more of the same of that. And that's definitely something that I've noticed and that those around me have noticed as well.
Okay. Kind of filling the gap. So swapping out the bad, allowing space for the good or the better.
Yes. So you can even think about that in terms of like negative thoughts that we tell ourselves. Swap it out for something healthier, something more positive. Types of workouts, right? You like if running doesn't work for you right now, try walking. You can swap it, right? So there's a lot of different ways that we can apply it, again, at work and in life. And then mute is when you need a temporary break. So have you ever muted anybody on Instagram?
Almost daily.
So we know about it in like a technical aspect, but sometimes we need to take a break. Maybe it's and be actionable about it. There's workbook sections at the end of each chapter, so you can actually journal and do some of the work as you go through. But say you need a 30-minute break from somebody. Or 30, did I say 30 minutes? I meant 30 day. You take a 30 day break from somebody. 30 right. minutes might not be long enough.
30 minutes, I'm at work. 30 days, I got friends going, what'd I do?
Yeah. But then assess how you feel. Do you need a longer mute? Do you want to manage that relationship now? Or do we move it to a full block?
Okay.
So a block is complete removal. And that's what I'm saying. Don't creep on their social media pages or, you know, have somebody else doing that for you to see what they're up to, but actually removing that person or that thing that's unhealthy for you from your life.
In the book tours and the podcasts and what have you, like those steps and the nails seems like it's in theory, easy is probably the wrong choice of words, but it's simple, right? Like you should be able to do this. In the people that you talk to, has it been that? I mean, it seems like doing that is really hard when you're deeply involved in a relationship, no matter how, like, especially if it's a toxic relationship. Like, I need to block them. Well, your family, friends, everyone can be telling you that doing it is actually much harder.
I think you're right. People call it simple but effective. It's right. simple to understand. It right. doesn't mean it's easy to
it's
implement,
easy. Yeah.
right? And that's why you need to have the support, right? Like the workbook, have the steps, have continued conversations about it. And you know, when you're in that block phase, maybe it is saying, hey, friend, I removed this person from my life and I know they're still in your life, but I want to respect that I'm not interested in having conversations about them, right? So you can take additional steps, and there's ways that you can do that to protect yourself.
I'm curious, a couple more questions. I appreciate you spending this much time kind of exploring this. I host another show called BAM, and one of the questions that comes up a lot is, not a lot, but your Chad scenario. Like, if you know something is going on, you know somebody's in this bad relationship, like your friends and family oftentimes know before you do. But it's hard to tell that person, you know, because a lot of times that person will cut you off before they cut off the other person. What made you, was it just the overwhelming evidence? Like, you were receptive to hearing this, and the stories you heard about Chad were like, come on. I'm not really going to believe. That's crazy. Like, if somebody told me that, I wouldn't want to believe it. They just came with stacks of evidence, and that's what made you do it. Like, how did you accept that?
I think how I accepted it is my body had been screaming at me that something was wrong.
It was wrong, right?
My body knew before my mind. So right before, about a month before, I had abnormal skin cancer lesions removed. My hair all broke off and fell out. And then I got shingles on my face in my 30s.
Really?
And to me, that was, and when I went to the doctor, she said, are you under an extreme amount of stress? We had just gotten back from a 10-day trip to Italy. And I know you're going to ask the question. So yes, Bill, I paid for everything. We just got back from this trip, but I had suspected some things. Like, I think my body was screaming at me going, Ginny,
like,
something is wrong. Wake up. Because it is not normal to get shingles in your 30s.
Well, but it's also not, I'm going to sound really judgmental. Maybe it is normal. For somebody who's so accomplished and doing things and okay, you know, in their single life, Or maybe it is. And, you know, we have these conversations a lot. But to be the person who's doing that, like, why are you paying for everything for this random person who you've met? Why is this person the one? And you said you're kind of working out things yourself, but that's not who I guess anybody around you would have picked for you. Like, is it?
I don't think so. But to your point, it's a farce for us to think that people like him target weak people. They actually target people that are going to elevate their lives and make them look better because they are all about their image and status. So I was a perfect host for him because I made his life better and his kids' life better. And so, like, people think, oh, well, they target weak people. That's not the case. They will target empathetic people. They will target successful people because they can ride on their coattails. So I don't think anybody, now knowing what we know about him, I don't think anybody would pick him for anybody.
Right, right. But in the moment, it's hard. Their scammers are good at what they do. That's why it's successful. What's next for you? Like, we started off kind of half joking, but not so much, about this whole story really is a movie. Is that what's next? Is it continuing to build the, you know, the podcast to even more millions? What's the next step for you?
I think a movie would be really fun. It would be venturing into, you know, an area that I've never explored before, but it sounds awesome. I'm really, Unsubscribe is just getting started.
Yeah.
Like, and so I'm very excited. This, like, you are literally at the birth stage of Unsubscribe right along with me, and thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So Unsubscribe, right now I'm bringing it to stages, and those stages keep getting bigger, and I love that. I love that energy in the room and having people come up to me afterwards sharing with me what they were going to unsubscribe from. And so I think it's going to build from there. But yes, again, I'd love to grow the podcast. And continue on this path.
Doing TED Talks and all the things
yes.
that people need to follow you and continue on. This show, the basis of The Pulse, is the concept of use your voice for good. You've been talking about that most of the time that we've been sitting here, but we ask everybody that same final question. And what does that mean to you? Use your voice for good.
I think for me, when it all boils down to my work with Unsubscribe, the, you know, putting my book out, and actually I put You're My Favorite out when I was still in corporate, so I didn't really know what that looked like at that point. But I think for me, the doing good part, using my voice for good, is making sure people know that they're not alone.
I appreciate you spending some time with us. It's learning. Educating, and hopefully helping as many people as possible. Jenny Priem, you can pick up the books. This is Unsubscribe. This is You're My Favorite. There's another one.
Yes, there's a guided journal called I'm My Favorite, which is really the steps I took during that immediate time after everything I was going through, again, to kind of help people through that process.
And stay tuned for Unsubscribe starring Scarlett Johansson or Reese Witherspoon or some of the folks coming to theaters near you. And you're going to save a role for me in it?
Absolutely.
We can just recreate this interview?
Yes.
I like it. Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with author, motivational speaker, consultant Jenny Priem. I know it's a little different than what we usually do, but we thought it was absolutely fitting as we head into Women's History Month to focus on history, knowledge, empowerment, all of those things we thought that Jenny represented, and I hope you did as well. Hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is that shows up on your screen so you get a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. Also, download the Fox Local app. All of our more than 160 episodes are right there on demand at your fingertips. I'm sure there's something you will enjoy, some really amazing guests. And you can hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. I always appreciate you listening. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.